You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So as part of our look into the referendums, I talked to Shane Lebron, the coordinator for the Medicinal Cannabis Awareness New Zealand. Now, I talked to him in an effort to understand what a yes vote or a no vote could mean for medicinal cannabis in New Zealand when it comes to access for patients, general access from the public, quality of standards, and what it can mean when it comes to researching the real benefits, or maybe not the benefits, of consuming medicinal cannabis or recreational cannabis on the whole. And I started off by asking him what the current regulations are around medicinal cannabis.
So the current regulations are actually in a bit of a state of flux, but from probably early next year, products that have passed the new quality standards assessment that the government has put in place, those products will be able to be prescribed by any doctor for any patient for any condition. So the prescribing side of things is going to be fairly liberal on paper, but in actual effect, we're going to be following Australia and Canada and California, and that there'll be a handful of doctors who specialise in cannabis, and they're going to be doing most of the prescribing.
And what would a yes vote mean for these regulations?
Well, that's to be decided, because the referendum, you know, it hasn't gone through Parliament, so we haven't gone through and tweaked it. But fundamentally, what we've got at the moment is they're imposing a really high pharmaceutical level quality standard, whereas with the referendum, it's assumed it'll be some sort of food quality standard. So the products will still have standardised doses, but the compliance costs and everything involved will be much lower. So it's the difference between making an oil in a pharmaceutical facility with $500,000 bit of equipment versus making it on a kitchen bench with $1,000 bit of equipment.
Are there any concerns that the quality of these products will be jeopardised if the bill does go through?
Not really, from the patient's end, because currently they're already using illicit products, which has no quality control. So even a high food grade standard is a vast improvement on what most people are currently accessing. And it's the trade-off between cost and quality control. And to be honest, that pharmaceutical level quality control is more about making the doctors and the regulators feel comfortable than the patients.
Okay, so what impact could this referendum have on the accessibility to medicinal cannabis?
It would be positive. For the most part, patients would be able to cut the doctors and their reluctance out of the equation and go straight to a dispensary. The issue with the dispensaries is we'd probably need some that run with a medical bent, offering more products that have at least some CBD in them, rather than it all being just a straight competition for who can get the highest THC product on the shelf. Which, of course, our referendum regulations propose that they're going to limit that to a certain extent anyway. But, yeah, cutting doctors out of the equation is a big deal, because going privately for, you know, $150 to $300 a consult is pretty inaccessible for people on a sickness benefit, and they often don't get funding for it.
And what impacts could the referendum have on the ability to conduct research?
I don't think there'll be much in the way of impact on that side of things, to be honest. There's already within the medical regime for people to get licenses just for cultivation, you know, to do research and that sort of thing. There'll just be a whole lot more sort of secondary public health research going on, with hopefully some of the taxes raised, so, you know, studying the issue and how to get further harm reduction into the scheme.
Could this mean that New Zealand could potentially become a global leader and when it comes to cannabis research?
No, I don't think so. There's a lot of countries that already have a huge head start, and to be honest, the companies that do clinical research aren't making money yet. So if we look at GW Pharma, which is the company that made Sativex, which is registered in New Zealand, and they even got Epidiolex FDA approved for severe epilepsy, that company is now 20 years old and still hasn't posted a profit. So anyone who's saying we're going to do lots of clinical research is probably overly optimistic about what the opportunities are in that space.
And what impact could this referendum have on the ability to be gaining funding from PharmAc for medicinal cannabis products?
Well, not in the current scheme. So I've met with the boss at PharmAc, and fundamentally the research and development model is kind of broken when it comes to plant extracts. So with Sativex, you know, there's not much cannabis in it. There's probably $150 of cannabis in it, but it's $900 to buy. And that's because the company has to claw back all of the money that I've spent on research, which is a risky bet. But at the other end, by charging such a huge cost, Pharmac has a cost-benefit ratio, and even though they recognise that it does hold a benefit for some people, you know, there's drugs that are far, far cheaper that can do the same job for most people. So when we put the research in, it becomes unaffordable and it doesn't meet the Pharmac thresholds. But what we would like to see is, if we're talking about huge levies and revenues and some of it being reserved for health purposes, we would like to see a separate fund taken out of the legalisation money and put into a special individual patient application process managed by Pharmac or possibly the Cannabis Agency, because there's really strong need for severe neurological conditions such as some of the epileptic kids, and they've got no hope of funding in the current guise. But you know, if we're taking $1 billion of taxes every year from cannabis, we'd like to at least see a little bit of it go back to cannabis for those who need it most.
And so what could the impact be if we have a no vote in this referendum? What impact could that have on medicinal cannabis?
Well, it's probably better for the medicinal cannabis companies, because the ones that are looking to produce, they've spent millions of dollars on their pharmaceutical manufacturing. And, you know, if the doctors and the prescribing is cut out and the pharmaceutical grade is cut out of the equation, it'd be quite bad for them. But in saying that, there's still a lot that can be done on the medical space to improve access and get economies of scale to drive the cost down for patients. So the one thing we're really focused on is getting CBD downscheduled from a prescription medicine. So we want it down to be pharmacist only or on the pharmacy shelf, but our current laws don't allow for that to happen. But they're looking at doing something very similar in Australia. They're proposed to put 60 milligram per day doses down to pharmacist only, but the problem is such low doses, they still are demanding proof of efficacy, and the lower the dose, the harder it is to prove efficacy. So it's a bit of a two steps forward, one step back scenario.
So when it comes to prescribing from doctors, when it comes to medicinal cannabis, could we see, if it does go through, doctors prescribing cannabis from a cannabis dispensary instead of, say, a pharmacy?
No, I don't think the schemes are set up that way. For the prescribing, under the law that's been put in place, the products have to meet the quality standard. So they have to be pharmaceutical grade and all of that sort of thing, whereas it's assumed that the recreational standard will be much lower.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.